We have met here to celebrate our day of freedom. And as we are here, our thoughts turn back to the glorious past when our forebears fought despotism and won liberty. We should always keep those memories fresh. Happily, however, we are a nation which lives not only on its past, but in its present. And tonight our thoughts are irresistibly drawn to Korea, the young republic, where our soldiers, sailors, and airmen are at this very moment fighting for freedom. We can say with pride that our spirit today is the spirit of 76, and that our living is faithful to the principles on which our nation was founded. Our founders felt that they were conducting a great experiment in human liberty. From the beginning, they were inspired by a sense of mission. They were consciously building not for themselves alone, but for the benefit of all mankind. The Declaration of Independence is expressed not in terms of just American rights, but in terms of the natural moral rights of all men. It proceeds from a universal premise that, it says, all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And the founding fathers made it clear that they were setting a pattern of freedom for men everywhere. Largely under the inspiration of that example, the 19th century became a period of great liberalism, where human beings freed themselves from the yoke of despotism. And whenever they sought to do so, they had the support of the United States. We early established the Monroe Doctrine to warn Tsarist Russia and its allies to keep their hands off the republics of this hemisphere, whose continuing independence, we said, was vital to our own peace and happiness. And toward the end of the 19th century, we enunciated the open door principle for China to help the Chinese to develop in their own way, free of alien domination. And in this 20th century, we joined in two world wars when the freedom of the West was imperiled by military despotism. 5 years ago, we signed the United Nations Charter, and thereby we pledged ourselves to seek universal respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms and the preservation of political independence as against violent attack. The history of our nation makes a consistent unfolding pattern. We have supported human freedom and political independence throughout the world, both as a matter of good morals and because we saw that our own freedom was an integral part of total human freedom. The United States can never be isolationist, and it will never be isolationist so long as we are true to our heritage. An isolationist America would be a contradiction in terms, for America has from the beginning been the symbol of the universal cause of human liberty. What we are doing today is in keeping with our tradition of the past. I was in Korea only 2 weeks ago and saw with my own eyes that republic and that it was indeed a land of freedom. The people there had just had their second general election. Over 80% of the eligible voters had gone to the polls, and a majority of the representatives elected were independent of the party which controlled the election machinery and the police force. That indeed is proof of real political liberty. And I talked there with leading educators, and I attended gatherings of professors and students at one of their leading universities. I spent an evening of religious worship with 3,000 Christian refugees who had fled from the northern dictatorship of atheistic communism so as to enjoy the religious and the intellectual liberty of the Republic of Korea. and there was no doubt as to the reality of that liberty. The people were happy and industrious, and using energetically and cooperatively their newly found freedom. Their society was so wholesome that it could not be overthrown from within. Communists had tried that and had failed. So early Sunday morning, 9 days ago, open military aggression was brought into play. Without warning, heavy tank formations drove down from the north, moving through the valleys to converge upon the capital of Seoul and then to fan out to the south. They were preceded and covered by combat planes, which, sweeping low, machine-gunned and terrorized the civilian population. And the defending forces of the Republic had no combat planes, no tanks or heavy artillery with which to oppose this aggression. The long-prepared, suddenly exploded, ruthless attack was characteristic of military despotism. It was in miniature the kind of attack that could hit us if we are content to live in a world where such methods are tolerated. The attack on Korea represents the timeless issue of whether lovers of liberty will be vigilant enough, brave enough, and united enough to survive despotism. The United States, as a member of the United Nations, had helped to create the Korean Republic, and we had given it economic aid. And we alone of the free world had military strength in the immediate area. We were the logical first defenders of the liberty that had been assaulted. It was, however, important that we should not act alone or act without international sanction. The United Nations had been established for the very purpose of dealing with such situations. Its Security Council met within a few hours of the opening of the assault, and all of its members were present, except only one, the Soviet Union, which sought by its absence to veto restraint on the aggressive action of its satellite in North Korea. Nevertheless, the Council acted. It had a direct report before it from its own commission in Korea. And in the light of that report, it unhesitatingly branded the attack as a breach of the peace. And it called upon the member states to assist to repel it. President Truman, with bipartisan support, acted promptly and vigorously to bring the United Nations to respond to that appeal. And the governments of many other members of the United Nations did likewise. So we see international authority at work to prevent the committing against the Republic of Korea of what I call international murder. The task undertaken is not a light one, and before it is finished, we shall all of us have to pay a price. Already today in Korea, our youth are paying the final price of life itself. The rest of us may have to cut down on our economic indulgence so that out of our great productive capacity, we can help our friends to match the offensive power which the Soviet Union, out of its economic poverty, supplies to its friends. I am confident that what has happened will arouse the American people. We have never flinched when great principles are involved. We are engaged today in the same battle that began in 1776. Our own liberty cannot long be safe in a world where despots can strike down liberty piecemeal with fire and sword. We have today the great opportunity to join with the other free societies to prove that unprovoked aggression does not pay. If we sternly teach that lesson in terms of the North Korean adventure, then our own peace will be more secure than ever before. But if the free world fails to rally to the support of one of its stricken members, then one by one, others would be struck down, and military despotism, intoxicated by repeated victories, would lose all sense of restraint. The United States has ever been bound by faith and by sacrifice to the cause of righteousness. Washington, under the shadow of whose monument we stand, committed our nation in its youthful dedication. Lincoln, whose shrine adjoins, said that our Declaration of Independence envisioned liberty, not alone, he said, to the people of this country, but hope for the world for all future time. We have never sat idly by when despots attempted by violence to snuff out that hope. Today, we face a new test. I am confident that our response will be worthy of our great heritage, and that we shall not be afraid to live sacrificially and even dangerously in a righteous cause.